Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night. It is 7 o'clock. We are in the midst of a journey to the book, The American Book of the Dead, Guidebook by E.J. Gold. Last week, we did a summary of what it was like to go through the first three books. And that summary and a recording of it is up on the website, wingsofchaos.com, under Book 3. It's the last recording of Book 3, if you'd like to participate in that. And we're moving on now. We're moving on to Book 4. And as we move on to Book 4, our subgroup is ready with a wonderful presentation tonight, and I'd like to now turn it over to our leader, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you. We're looking forward to a journey with you and sharing the journey that we've had together the last little while. In fact, we're still in the middle of our journey through Book 4, so you're going to be getting the newest and most current fruits of our labors we're going to share with you. Tonight we're going to start with a very, very special treat. I'm not going to say anything more about it. Just listen. Okay, please start. Sound. A little louder.
The fourth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul-Qudus. 1. I am beyond any description, any imagination, any wonder. I am beyond any expansion of consciousness. And beyond any depths to which the innermost reveries of consciousness could wander. I am so free from qualities and characteristics that no man can understand or conceive of my reality.
Two. And this is because man looks to himself and to his own qualities to measure my reality according to his own reality.
Three. And man tries to understand my reality by giving me his own qualities in a perfected form. And man calls his own qualities of knowledge, power, hearing, sight, and speech perfections when they are complete, subtle, and positive under the will of the universe.
Or, but this is not the perfection or the reality of Kudus, most, most holy, and it is nothing but the idea of man's own perfection projected into the spiritual skies of heaven.
Five. These are the instructions for the first to seventh days, the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness.
Six. And it has come to pass that you shall be compelled to pass through the full realm of transit. And this has come about despite all the previous confrontation. Seven. And the daily dangers which you must now meet and overcome during the next 7 days are next explained in detail.
Eight. Now, the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dreaming, the dawning of the lucid clarity of consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body.
Nine. These are the instructions for the first day of karmic apparitions caused by the breaking up of the phenomenal world into the primal elements of consciousness. Ten. And it has come to pass that you have remained in a fainting swoon for the past 4 days. And now that you have recovered from this swoon, you will realize what has occurred.
Eleven. And you shall look around and recognize the transit world and the world of matter will be all in an uproar, and the apparitions and phenomena you shall now see before you shall all be individual appearances of the primary elements of consciousness, and they shall be called the guides.
And the space surrounding you shall appear to you blue in color, and the matrix of space shall appear to you now, and the matrix of space is the guide who is in reality the primal element of space, the realm in which all phenomena arise. 13. And the element called space is the matrix of all matter resolved into its spiritual form.
Now, a blinding blue light will strike you, and it will come from the heart of the guide, who is neither male nor female. And the light shall strike you in the heart. And with the brilliant blue light, there shall also appear a soft white light. And the soft white light shall also strike you in your heart. 15. And if you have attachments to the world of matter, you will want to run, and you will fear the brilliant blue light.
And it shall come to pass that there shall be no place in which to hide, but the soft white light and the soft white light is the light of the world of the gods. 17. And if you are able to give up your attachments to the things of the world of matter, the brilliant blue light shall dissolve them away. And with all the attachments, the brilliant blue light shall also dissolve the sense of ego and tendencies toward habitual actions and thoughts.
And if you become drawn to the soft white light of the world of the gods, you shall be born into it. And though it seems more pleasing and less to fear, it is an obstruction to liberation, but not to awakening.
19. Now you should welcome the brilliant blue light and bathe in it and baptize yourself in it. It is the cleansing of the spirit, and in that you should rejoice. 20. And this is the prayer which you should repeat with me.
Alas, when wandering in the world through ignorance and error, on the path of radiance of the wisdom of the matrix of space, may I be cleansed and guided by the inexorable wisdom of the world of reality.
22. And may the guide, who is neither male nor female, be my protector. May I be brought safely across the shocking and confusing dangers of the transit world, and may I be changed into the state of the luminous, shining void. Louder, please.
And by praying in that way, in intense and humble faith, you shall merge in a halo of rainbow light into the heart of the luminous void. And you shall attain completion as the seed of all universal existence. And you shall dwell forever in the realm of the kingdom.
That completes this reading. The fourth book of the dead, called the Book of Ul Kudus, with the accompaniment of an original composition by Musical Spark for the group to use. Now we're going to do something completely different. We're going to talk. So, Musical Spark, earlier I said for you to turn your volume down or to have your voice softer, and now I want your voice to be louder because you're going to give us that interesting compare and contrast, and we want to make sure that we can hear everything you're saying. So give me a couple of hellos and let's see how the volume is, okay?
Hello? Hello.
Yay!
Perfect.
Ready, set, go. Whenever you're ready, carry forth.
Okay. So, I guess the part, it was just something that I fell into because I didn't really know where to start. So, but I thought of one thing that I think EJ had mentioned Damon Knight, a science fiction writer, to say something to the effect that a writer's job is to lead the reader into an understanding of the mind of the writer. So in trying to understand the mind of the writer of the American Book of the Dead guidebook and the Book of Ul Quddus, I fell into something that I often do, which is compare and contrast with other texts that are similar. So I went to the Tibetan Book of the Dead and to the American Book of the Dead classic version and just tried to find the passages that seem similar and just to see the differences. So I'm just going to, I basically placed the verses that seem similar kind of side by side, not expecting, you know, and not really wanting them to be, you know, everything to be exactly corresponding from one book to the other. So it's just a light comparison, or just looking at the three books side by side. So I just start with the Tibetan Book of the Dead. There's a part immediately before the instructions for the first day in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, edited by W.Y. Evans Wentz, a section called The Dawning of the Peaceful Deities, from the first to the seventh day. And it's in brackets. Assuming that the deceased is karmically bound, as the average departed one is, to pass through the 49 days of the Bardo existence, despite the frequent settings face to face, the daily trials and dangers which he must meet and attempt to triumph over during the first 7 days, wherein dawn the peaceful deities, are next explained to him in detail. The first day, judging from the text, being reckoned from the time in which normally he would be expected to wake up to the fact that he is dead and on the way back to rebirth, or about 3.5 to 4 days after death. End of brackets. And then in the American Book of the Dead guidebook, the fourth book of the dead called the Book of Ul Quddus, verses 5 to 8, we see these verses, which are similar to what we saw in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. 5, these are the instructions for the first to seventh days of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness. And 6, and it has come to pass that you should be compelled to pass through the full realm of transit. And this has come about despite all the previous confrontations. 7, and the daily dangers which you must now meet and overcome during the next 7 days are next explained. 8, now the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dawning of the lucid clarity of the consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body. And then I looked at the ABD, and the part that seemed similar again to those sections in the other books was the part starting at the manifestation of the friendly guide. Assuming I will be compelled, as is the average voyager, to encounter the full array of hallucinatory labyrinth visions as they impose their own forms upon the face of the beloved, I will try to remember that these are my own thought forms, and that they spring from my own deep consciousness. So that one's, you know, kind of quite a bit different from the first two, but it's still, you know, basically on the same idea. So, and then I just continued, and I didn't do every verse from the Book of Ul Qudus. I just ended up doing every third verse or so. So I'm not sure, because we have six sections to go through, I think, whether I want to continue very much longer in this fashion.
Well, I appreciate your taking a pause there, because I think you're right. We've got a little interference coming from something clicking, and I don't know if that's someone's microphone or their speaker or something, but we're getting a little kind of a click in our sound here. So maybe I'll give your voice a pause, and we'll move to Pianjo, who has prepared us some possible material, is what we refer to it as. And so, Pianjo, please take it away.
We have now covered four chapters in this text, and I noted throughout all of them, all of the books that we have covered thus far, frequent references to the primal elements of consciousness. In fact, I think in the current text, it's mentioned probably three or four times on just two pages. At the same time, we've noticed a constant referral to the fact that really nothing is happening or ever has happened, as we've learned in the Clear Light Prayer, that everything is just an illusion projected by ourselves into the void. And the primal elements are the connector with the illusion of actors and actions. This introduces us to the five skandhas, or psychological components, or alternatively the five elements, which are the weavers of Indra's dream. And I went back and I found a passage, the first passage in which the five components were mentioned, and that's verse 31 of Ulang, the first book. And the text says, "We who are your friends, your relations, and your fellows on the path of reality are but the convergence of the five primal elements of consciousness." And I put together the following words about this. As our fellow voyager Silverdale has pointed out, we have our ordinary consciousness, which shows us our place in the material world, providing the basis of everything that we do. It is comprised of the five senses, each of which vibrates at a different frequency. Together with the information they selectively produce, they form what Silverdale calls the historical personality and Gurdjieff calls the formatory apparatus. This analog construct is what generates our, quote, sense of self, unquote, along with the names given to it by our parents and social environment, and provides our personal sense of identity, which in jest we often refer to as our consciousness. This is the consciousness produced by the five skandhas or components, and is as impermanent in others as it is in ourselves. The experiences it produces in us are called common factors. On the other hand, we have another sense of consciousness that is completely different in character and function, called the essential self. It grows more slowly over long periods of time and usually through many biological baptisms, and constitutes the shared reality of all sentient beings. It is the spark of the divine within each of us and grows slowly through experience. The experiences produced by this consciousness are called rare factors. The psychological components or skandhas producing the before-mentioned imaginary sense of self are enumerated as follows, and I've shortened this as much as I possibly could, each one generating its successor as reported by Francesca Freemantle and Chogyam Trungpa in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and that's on page 16. First is form, or rupa, the division of the world into subject and object, with a primitive self that becomes aware of a world external to it, a separation of me from out there. As soon as this happens, the self passively reacts to the external world with two, the second skandha, called feeling or vedana, or attraction, repulsion, and indifference. Soon this reactive self becomes more active, and the third skanda, perception, or samsna, develops, and self becomes fully aware of both stimulus and response. All of this information is now put together by the emergence of the fourth skanda, concept, or samskara, which covers all intellectual and emotional activities, leading to patterns of personality and karma. Finally, the fifth skanda, consciousness, vijnana, develops and combines all the sense perceptions and the mind, creating a complete universe of its own, thereby projecting its own images all around itself, while avoiding a direct perception of the world as it really is. While this material may be of value to scholars, it doesn't do a whole lot to help us as actual voyagers know what to look for, hear, feel, or sense in any other way that would help us to benefit from this information. Fortunately, other scholars, like David Brazier in his Never Die Alone, pages 97 through 98, have offered other translations and interpretations that do. For example, take just skandhas 2, 3, and 4. Brazier translates these as reaction, a very visceral reaction, which leads to entrancement, which is his translation of it, and finally producing the fourth skanda, identification, respectively, giving us understandable markers for knowing where we are in our own experience. I think we've seen in a lot of the Gurdjieff material and in personal work on self how we move through those three stages, from reaction to entrancement to identification. This sequence well describes how we function when asleep in the machine, producing common factors. In contrast, rare factors, he defines with his translations, two is translated as awe or samadhi, leading to three, discernment or prajna, and then producing the fourth skanda aspiration or shanda. This transmutation of the common to the rare is what we call the work. Common factors are found in people who do not yet know that they are voyagers. Rare factors are those that emerge in those who do. The first we all lose, the last we all get to keep.
If we get a copy of that, can we put it up on the website for the reading of those of us who would like to ponder it a little bit more? Tianjo, thank you so much.
Oh, sure.
It would be lovely to have it up there. I'm happy to move from the compare and contrast to the possible material to a slightly different point of view, and we would call this personal or experiential. Are you there, Shakuba Light?
Yes, I'm here.
We have had some time together, you and I, in bringing ourselves into a little bit closer experiential experimentation with some of this text material. What would you like to share about that?
Well, it was interesting for me when you were holding space that I could actually go back and remember my feelings and thoughts during transit. As we were reading, and I could feel that same vibration awaken within my physical body again. By just paying attention to it. And I remember sensing and feeling the fear and the confusion and how I felt lost during transit and didn't know where to go. The desire to hide, but there was no place to hide. I remember that here in physical body, I was at times gasping for air. So I was assuming that was how my feeling was, especially when Tianjo was reading that the light would strike you in the heart. It felt like it was happening at that moment.
Right.
And you had asked me how I can assist others to sense the transit the way I was able to. And the only thing that came to my mind was that I don't think it's impossible. So I start with thinking it's possible, and that's my foundation, and I go from there.
Start by thinking it's possible and go from there.
Nice.
I love that. It just follows so beautifully after Pianja presented us with his possible material. And could I ask you, Shakuba Light, what was the verse that we were addressing that allowed us to enter that doorway with you?
It was verse 8.
And would you like to read verse 8 for everyone so they've got the context of where we were?
Sure. Now, the first day of the unfolding of the primal forms of consciousness is reckoned from the time of the passing from the secondary clear light into the dawning of the lucid clarity of consciousness of the fourth or fifth day after the death of the body.
Thank you. I very much appreciate you sharing that with us.
Sure. I'm happy to. And the other thing I wanted to mention was I do recall, and we talked about this, how much I was associating with fear in that space. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of going forward and hiding. Everything that was happening. And after looking back at it, I realized that maybe that's how I am here in life as well, in body. And if I could change that to replace that fear with love, loving waking up, loving eating, loving whatever, then maybe at that time in transit I can associate more easily with love instead of associating easily with fear.
Yes. Start from what would be possible.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. So you can see our group has wandered very many places with our beautiful book of Ul-Kudus, and I'm going to say a few words that for me represent something that is consistent throughout all of the books of the dead, whether they be Tibetan or Egyptian or Mayan or Navajo or American. And that has to do with this amazing presentation of color and radiation as an ongoing constant in the chambers. And 30 years ago, there was a videotaping of a series of talks and discussions and demonstrations that were recorded with the VCR, and the series was called Color and Radiation, and I'm going to read just a small piece of the promo material that is on the cover of each of these videotapes. I'm getting there. The material. Just as music resonates within a given range of sound frequencies, so color resonates at specific light frequencies. The human biological machine, as with any biological form, can be viewed as an electrical field or as an ambient temperature plasma in which the magnetic containment is supplied by the combined gravitic subfields generated by its component parts. I will not read that again, and I do not know what it means. The macro dimensions are also electrical in nature and can be sealed and morphologically affected by exposure to certain frequencies of sound and color. In this series, EJ examines the uses of color for invocational purposes. Now, this scenario was a number of folks sitting around the jewelry making table from the Jewels of Ancient Lands era, 1984, 85, 86, and the making of the jewelry and the speaking about the frequencies of color and the capacities of the subtraction of color, which is where we get to some places in the Book of the Dead when it describes the dissolving of tendencies by brilliant radiation. That was suggested in this way when the idea of color therapy was brought to EJ's attention in relation to healing. He suggested the application of color through direct light projection as opposed to reflected light to move from chamber to chamber. Also, was suggested that it produces a passage to from one chamber to another through the use of subtractive frequency coloration to burn off what's preventing us to pass from one chamber to the next. If we just keep that context of color and radiation through all of Book 4 and the rest of our chambers, I think we'll be going somewhere together. And we have the sound to play again whenever you're ready. That's the end of tonight's presentation.
Go ahead, my man.
Paul says, I've heard about the skandhas many, many times, and tonight, with Kanjo's reading, is the first time I've even glimpsed understanding of them and the transformation of them. Thank you for that. And Silverdale dittos it.
Thank you.
I don't know how to objectively measure or evaluate something, but during the reading that you did with the music, I literally entered a space where it was okay if that space just continued.
Yeah.
It just continued, and for me that means there was a taste of eternality to it, which that happens to be a measure that I use.
Yes.
So I want to thank the group and the composer for that work. Hopefully we'll hear a little bit more again. Yeah, go ahead. And Muscle Spark, is that
it? That's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress, okay.
More to come. It's just verses 1-4 of book 4.
Yeah, I don't know how large the final file will be, but it might be one that I could upload to the site for book 4.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. And also, if you've written down your commentary regarding the comparison of those three books,
yes,
notate what it is, those verses, the specific verses, and then I'll post that as well as Piangio's offering.
Yes.
And we'll build up the presentation material for book 4, hopefully along with this recording of the night as well.
I've got an MP3 for you. You can go.
Which is his file.
Four minutes, yeah.
That should
just
be fine.
Looped. This is looped.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
So, will you continue next week? Is there...
We will be continuing.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this particular book is, it's the full experience of transit.
Yes.
And we're being asked to consider that.
Yes. Take a little step in the stream of the live experience of transit.
I don't know if I can edit the sound file I get, but the reading of the book along with the music would also make a nice YouTube offer. It was 15 minutes maybe?
Yeah.
I think we can do 15 minutes. Okay. I'll look at seeing if I can edit or have someone try to edit the sound file. If I can, I'll give it, well, I'll have it, someone will post it on their site and let everybody know. It was a real nice work of art, nice combination of wonderful readers and I think a masterful piano rendition of the first parts of this book. How are we doing over there, Dan? Good.
Piangio says, Shakoba said in her experience what many words can only try to grasp. Very beautiful. Thank you. And then people are appreciating appreciation for the music.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good work. Nice blend.
I did nothing. I just sat there, and all these people did all this hard work, and I just got to be there.
I was at the series of talks that became Color and Radiation many, many years ago, and the room was white hot because of the level of the intensity of the material that was being presented. And as it's a marker on me, that particular talk.
Yeah.
I was working the switcher.
The chamber imprint.
It's a chamber imprint. Let's remember that terminology. The chamber imprint. Very nice. And I, for whatever reason, I was the video, we had a video, the whole thing was videoed, and we had two or three cameras, I can't remember what it was those old days, and we had switchers, you remember that, And mm-hmm. I've worked the switcher from the various cameras, between the cameras. And that's probably the only thing that saved me in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you had an obligation and duty to perform.
And I was able to work. And because of that, I was left with a
chamber imprint.
A chamber imprint. As I will be left with this first part of the evening, too. So thank you, Book 4 group, and your presentation and your hosting of Ul Kudus, the pure.
Most totally.
So thank you for that, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody again next Wednesday, right here at 7 o'clock. Good night.
Good night.